Support for this podcast comes from Progressive, America's number one boat insurer. We've all made mistakes on the water, but there's one mistake you shouldn't make: being uninsured. With Progressive Boat Insurance, you can choose coverage for most mistakes you or other boaters could make, helping you float carefree all season long. Quote today, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, number one rating based on boat market share data from ratefilings.com.
It's seafood season, and your favorite seafood sensation is back at White Castle. Say hello to Shrimp Nibblers. With delicious butterfly shrimp battered in a crispy coating, it's never been easier to follow your crave. So head to White Castle and dive into delicious Shrimp Nibblers today for a limited time, only at White Castle. Follow your crave while supplies last.
Off the ball, GAA.
Davey Burke coming out after a game and making comments like that. I'm not sure how exactly helpful it is to his team, but maybe he's trying to get a message across to them that, you know, the last couple of weeks haven't been good enough.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Shamrock Rovers, Derry City live, 8 o'clock kickoff in Tallaght Stadium tomorrow night, live on Off the Ball on News Talk. And I am delighted to say that we have Owen Heary and Barry Murphy with us. So the nonsense of international football is over. We can concentrate on the real stuff now. That's the general narrative, right, Owen?
Yeah, definitely. Back to the real stuff. Bread and butter.
Before we get into the games themselves, the news came through. One of your former colleagues appointed head of the Academy at Pats. We're going to start seeing this now a bit more, aren't we, where everybody tries to catch up with Rovers a little bit. We saw the under-17s qualify for the World Cup for the first time during the week, and a load of players from Rovers underage set up there. We've obviously seen the Mason Melia transfer happen, so, and we see the ongoing campaign to get more money for the Academy. So the clubs kind of need to be ready for that if and when it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's probably where the disconnect has become between the clubs and the FAIs, because clubs have these people in place. Like, Ian Birmingham knows that club backwards. Like, it's the same as Shamrock Rovers, and Aidan Price is there, Shane Robinson. They know the clubs and the players come through backwards. But to commit their time, energy as a full-time job, they need the funding. And so that's where the disconnect is, and that's where the rush is from clubs, is to turn down these sort of things from the FAI. Say, listen, this needs to be imminent, because these players need the contact hours. They're ready to do it. They're ready to commit. They have the people, the staff to do it, but just not the funds to do it.
The under-17s qualifying during the week, we should actually just talk about that, because obviously it's a bigger tournament. There was a bigger opportunity for them to qualify, but they still had to go and do it.
Yeah, it's a great result for them. And as you say, it's qualification. Just looking at stats, you know, you're back to when Duffer and Glenn Crowe were playing, and we got finished third in the World Cup. All of a sudden, they're the only two players that came over that got capped. So it's interesting to see now that we've a lot of players, League of Ireland players, involved in the squad and are getting through, and how they develop over the years. But again, you don't want to put pressure on them straight away. It's a good achievement, but they need to develop, and we need to develop the players and see how they get on. But there also has to be an end goal for them, that it doesn't have to be the case of go to England to get a cap. You know, we need something here and develop it along the way that we can put them into the squad.
Yeah, we definitely need something here. And the incentive that if you stay in Ireland, you play your football in the League of Ireland, there is a path beyond as well while staying here. And I was thinking, like, that the international break was all said and done, and it was two victories and it was great and all that. It was like, geez, was there any players in the League of Ireland that would actually add to that squad, even on a squad basis? There was a couple. Honahan got into the original long squad before it was cut. Mm. But, like, do you think, on top of your head now, I know I'm asking the entire league here, but, like, are there players there that you think actually would add to the senior squad at the moment that are playing in the League of Ireland?
I think the Honahan one was a token gesture.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think there was anything behind
it. He just picked some of those playing at a successful team.
I think because of what Brazzer said, basically. Yeah.
Do you think so? It was all
physical. Yeah, well, like, he's good enough to be in it.
Well, I suppose that's more
important. What he did in the European campaign alone last season, he was good enough to be in it. But if he doesn't get in the main squad now, he's not getting in it this season. If Rovers don't repeat what they did. But you look at the likes of the Jack Burns, the Graham Burks, they're so inconsistent with how they're playing and the game time they're getting. They're probably the type of players that would have the quality to go in and do it, but they just don't have the game time and kind of longevity to do it.
Yeah, and you look at Bork, the last few games he's been coming into his own, and you can see that he's a step ahead of a lot of players in the league. Put him in that Ireland team the other day, I definitely think you look at the midfields, you know, we're getting on the ball, but we're not creating that, and he's one of them players that you can say, well, look, throw him in there in the midfield. I don't think he'd look out of place.
You don't?
No, I think he'd be able to get on the ball a little bit better than what we had there. And that's not being disrespectful to the two players that play there. Just look at Bourke, and I think he has the likes of Jack Bourne, Bourke. They have a little bit more on the ball to offer than defensive midfielders.
How close are we to getting to a place where, like, the League of Ireland is sufficient for a player to enjoy their career and get the most out of the career and not need to look beyond? How far away do you think we are?
I'd say we're still miles away, man.
Yeah.
A long way away. And that's not down to the players that are coming through. It's a lot to do with FEI, the league, the bitterness, the fighting, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be, you know, a pathway to say, well, look, you just keep developing and, you know, you have a chance of getting in. It's like, well, the FEI don't really want that to do with our league at times. Our league are fighting with the FEI to get things done. And it's just a disconnect completely between both.
How about the prospective breakaway? Would you be in favour of it? The separation from the League of Ireland and the FAI?
Well, they can't do it though, can they?
Like, no. It seems like a great idea on paper, but the practice is difficult.
Well, it's how, like, years ago in the league, it was like that. There was a breakaway, and then the FAI came on board and everything seemed to be better. But then there was, like, you go back to when, say, Pat Fenlon and Pat Dolan were managing teams, and they were fighting with the FAI. And that's 20-odd years ago, and it's still continued. Ollie Bourne, when he was, you know, involved with Shez, was fighting with the FAI. And it's just continued constantly. And even now, our league has got so much better in terms of publicity and, you know, standards, as in players coming in and full-time training and clubs are all full-time. But there's still a disconnect between the FAI and our league. And, you know, we need to bridge that gap. And I think you need football people involved in the FAI that maybe play in the league or maybe play at a high level in England to come in and say, this has to be football related. It can't be just business related. It has to be football related.
Support for this podcast comes from Progressive, America's number one boat insurer. We've all made mistakes on the water, but there's one mistake you shouldn't make: being uninsured. With Progressive Boat Insurance, you can choose coverage for most mistakes you or other boaters could make, helping you float carefree all season long. Quote today: Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, number one rating based on boat market share data from ratefilings.com.
Yeah, you just have to be there.
You know, you had to be there.
And it was just great to say, like, all right, I was there for that. You know what I mean?
You had to be there. I wish I wasn't there. You had to be there.
All right, Will Flory is this week's You Had To Be There, and you've come in bandaged, bearing battle scars, I presume, was from the last fight, yeah?
Yeah.
What happened?
Broke the hand.
Again?
Yeah. So that's the second time in the year now. So I broke it last April. That was just inspiring. And I had a fight about a week and a half later. So I went in and fought that fight anyway.
Right.
Because it kind of made sense. Well, I felt like if I didn't do it, I'd probably have to retire.
Come back in a little bit here. Yeah.
I felt like if I didn't do it, I'd probably have to retire. And then it ended up paying off. So I beat that guy fairly easily. And then I got
with a broken hand.
Yeah. And then got surgery on that hand afterwards. And then had to recover from that for a long time. So I was kind of out for about 6 months. And then it never felt right. That was the weird thing. So I fought three times with it broken after that, or well, with it out of place apparently after that. And then in the last fight, it broke again and I went into hospital. Like, I went back into Talladega when I got back from Germany, and they x-rayed it. They were like, yeah, it's broken. And then one of the young lads just came down to me and was like, look, I stayed in overnight. I was due to get surgery the next day because it's the thing they just operate on straight away. It's a Bennett's fracture. It's a really common break. And the guy came back to me and he was like, look, your thumb's been out of place for over a year. Like, it never really went back into place after the first one.
Right.
And I'd been saying this. I was like, it doesn't feel right. Like, the whole, my grip, just, I couldn't move my thumb. Like, I know it's called retropulsion. So I know retropulsion. It's one of the least, like, common movements of your hand. But, like, I couldn't give a thumbs up. It was kind of like that angle, like, not a proper angle.
Right.
So my grip has been really weak in that hand for a good while now. But I'm hopefully getting it fixed in the next week or so.
So they didn't operate on you immediately last time?
So then because of that, so like, they were like, look, we'll refer you to hand specialist, and I've been referred, and I'm kind of in the process now figuring out whether or not the operation will work.
Okay.
But I will, like, either way, it's not going to stop me.
Yeah.
It's more just,
it'd be better if it did work. Yeah.
Hopefully it does, you know.
This question would be very much dependent on the injury, I appreciate, but are you more anxious to get an injury rectified and fixed in defeat or victory?
Probably in defeat, yeah, because at least now it's a good buzz.
Yeah,
you know, like,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
it's much. The pain is more manageable when you won again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a lot easier to accept. Like the last 2 weeks have been pretty frustrating because I've been in hospital a lot of different days, and you're dealing with different people and get different outcomes. And even this apparently was supposed to be set under cast, and I just have this little tiny thing on it now for the next couple of weeks until I get hopefully whatever surgery I end up getting. But if I'd come off a loss and it was this,
yeah,
oh, you'd be unbelievably frustrated. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think about that more often than you think on behalf of MMA fighters, that they have to deal with this pretty much constant pain.
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time that you can think of that you weren't in some sort of pain?
Yeah, but like, there's a buzz out of all of that. Like, not a buzz out of pain, but like, you're the guy who gets on with it. And that's what you sell it to yourself as.
Right.
So there's just the resilience within the whole thing. And like, you choose to be in pain or you choose not. Like, certain things, all right, there's things you can't overcome. But like, for a lot of it, it's like, if your mind just buys into this enough, your body will get on with it. Like,
yeah.
You know?
But you're in great form at home because you got the better.
I'm here with a broken hand. I'm still smiling like such grass.
So it's 3 weeks ago this weekend.
Yeah.
Lazar Todev.
Yeah.
He won on decision.
Yeah.
Talk us through it.
It was a tough, tough fight.
Yeah.
I felt like I started, like, I'd moved up weight class. And you see, the previous fight was only 9 weeks before.
Yeah.
That was a 5-round fight. It was a tough fight. Like, and I'd had a long enough camp before that. And they offered me, so I fought on the Sunday night. It was just coming up to New Year's. And then on the Thursday, I got offered this fight for the heavyweight title. And straight away, I was like, yeah, brilliant, unreal. Like, you know, chance to win a second belt. And then I copped, like, oh, it's only like 8 and a bit weeks to that fight. And I was kind of looking forward to the break because I'd had two back camps at that stage. Anyway, I went away, took a week break after that, so I had like 7 weeks, and then I came back training. But the first week I was back training, I got like pretty sick. I got a bit of a virus or whatever, so the whole camp didn't go that well.
Yeah, you were saying that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, it wasn't ideal preparation, but at the same time, I've been doing this for about 15 years now. You're not going to get opportunities like this that often. It's like, seize the moment. It's come now. Buy into it. Believe it. You can do this.
That's class.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.
Support for this podcast comes from Progressive, America's number one boat insurer. We've all made mistakes on the water, but there's one mistake you shouldn't make. Being uninsured. With Progressive Boat Insurance, you can choose coverage for most mistakes you or other boaters could make, helping you float carefree all season long. Quote today, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, number one rating based on boat market share data from ratefilings.com.